Hey, everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. Me, Adam Hunter. We have a great show. We have the very beautiful and talented and sexy Andrew Montanez. Nice to be here. We have the gorgeous fighter, Ashley Evans-Smith. How are you? Oh, it's a pleasure to have you. A real fighter. We have three people in the room, and one, actually that's not true. Andrew has had, how many fights do you have?
I've had over 30 MMA fights.
Over 30 MMA fights. People don't know this. They think Andrew's just this annoying guy, but he actually has had 30 MMA fights.
You know, people think I'm just the worst.
It's okay. I'm telling you.
No, it's good. You're
getting some hate mail, but you know what? I say, look, if they're affected by you, that's all that matters, because you will turn those haters into lovers. Trust me on this one.
Yeah, they're just sliding to my DM with hate mail.
Speaking of DM, DM Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Academy is the perfect place to start or continue your BJJ journey. I'm going to start again. I haven't done it since my torn ACL. I got my leg fixed, and I'm excited because they have classes for kids and adults, and I'm taking those kids' classes. But they have expert instruction by world champion head instructor Demetrius Mavraganas, and his team of first-class instructors will get you in shape or ready for your next competition. Do you still do competitions, Ash?
Yeah, actually, I really want to do EBI.
Nice.
So, I mean, not lined up for a fight right now. I feel like this is the time to compete. So EBI or something similar. Yeah, I haven't competed in jiu-jitsu in a while, but I want to.
Good for you. I like it. Well, listen, if you want group classes or private instruction, call them today at 310-800-5878. Or if you're near Lakewood, Long Beach, visit them at 5543 Woodruff Avenue in Lakewood, California. You're near Lakewood, aren't you?
No.
All right, well, go there. Or go to dmbjj.com. Also, listen, when you find yourself in need, trust speedweed.com for overnight delivery to over 1,088 cities across California. Find everything from one stop, from flowers, edibles, concentrate, topicals, vapes, and more. I've been actually using the CBD oil for my back, and my back has never felt better. 2 weeks ago, I couldn't move my back. I started rolling that stuff on. My back is so much better, and you could use code ROASTED for $10 off orders over $100 at speedweed.com. When you're high, you're probably hungry. So Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient recipe delivery service in the country. Their mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. And they achieve this by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients for a community of home chefs. Blue Apron has established itself with over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranches across the U.S. And as a result, their seafood is sourced sustainably under standards developed in partnership with the Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch. Look, cooking together builds strong family bonds. Me and my girl, we have Blue Apron night. Best night of the week. Research shows that Blue Apron families cook nearly three times more often. And those who spend a lot at restaurants or high-end grocery stores can now spend under $10 per person, which is a great deal. I'm telling you, I love Blue Apron. It's my favorite night of the week. It's affordable. They got variety. It's flexible. It's easy. And it's guaranteed. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/MMA roast. You'll love how good it feels, how good it tastes, and be able to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. Don't wait. It's blueapron.com/MMA roast. Now, Ash, you are a vegan, right?
I am.
Now, I was thinking about becoming a vegan just because I love animals so much. We went to the petting zoo the other day. You know, I always pass these cute little cows on the road, and I'm like, man, it kind of sucks that I partake in eating these things. But then I'm like, well, what if I go to heaven and they're like, you already ate a million cows? Like, is it too late to become a vegan?
Let's say you're overweight right now, and you think, oh, okay, I'm 30. Well, I've been overweight my whole life, like. Who, I don't really want to look good at 31, right? It's too late.
Right.
No one says that. No one says, oh, I don't want to look good because it's too late. So, example, you've already eaten a buttload of animals, right?
Yes.
Maybe you don't get into heaven, but one, you're probably going to live a little longer. Two, your conscience will be better, you know, because if you truly are an animal lover, you'll feel better.
Right.
Know? It's better to kill 5 animals than 50 animals in your lifetime, right?
True.
And three, if you look into it just a little bit, you know, harder, you'll see that you're doing a big part for the environment as well, which, you know, maybe you're hippie at heart, maybe you're not, maybe you don't give a fuck.
But is that why you're a vegan?
All the above. You know, I love animals. I care about my health. I care about the environment, you know, a sustainable living for future generations. It all just seemed to make sense one day. I made the switch and I never looked back.
When did you make the switch?
2 years ago.
Oh, so you just became a vegan?
Yeah, I was a vegetarian for about 10 before that.
Wow.
So you look very healthy, but a lot of vegans that I meet, they smell kind of funny, or their vaginas stink.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Like, But how do you, like, is there a, like, do you go online and like, do you plan your diets or do you just kind of play it by ear?
I mean, I did a gradual change. I came from a really unhealthy, like, hot dog and pizza diet as a kid. And so when I got into high school and college and had to cut weight for wrestling, I just starved myself. And then I learned that's not a good way either. So from starving myself, I went to just, you know, let me try and take out meat. And then I realized that that was a one way to cut weight. So after I learned how to take out the meat, I realized that I felt better, you know, just a lot of things. Like, I learned a lot of things really fast. But in order to be a healthy vegetarian, you do need to learn about protein sources. The biggest question I always get is, where do you get your protein from? Mm-hmm. And it's not just protein shakes. And yeah, beans have a lot of protein, but you'd be surprised the other sources of protein. So you do have to be knowledgeable. Don't necessarily always have to plan, but if you go to the grocery store, you know what is healthy for you. You stock your fridge up. You're constantly eating healthy, no matter what you have in your refrigerator.
Andrew, are you a vegetarian or vegan? Or
I'm a pescatarian.
Oh, there you go.
Oh. I actually took a bite of meat this week for the first time in like 6 years.
Tell me the pescatarian. What exactly is that?
Like seafood. I don't eat any land meat, no meat, no chicken, beef, pork, or anything.
But anything swimming, you're like, fuck those.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, is there a reason for this?
I've always had a lot of animals my whole life, so I have no sympathy for like seafood, but like anything that can walk, I'm always kind of a little wary about.
So, is like the Little Mermaid, is that like a horror film to you? Or like, you're just like, fuck this. Or Finding Nemo?
I like Finding Nemo. That's a good movie.
I was that way too for a long time. I was like, oh yeah, like I'll just eat fish. And then after a while, like I'd be like, well, what did fish do to me? Like, why are they fucking assholes? Why am I just like...
I think I'm going to do it. I tried being a vegetarian the last, like, 2 hours. And then I'm like... Yeah, but I think this time I'm going to be more. I'm be way more serious.
Not eating.
Yeah, 2 hours. And I was like, all right, this is not working for me. But yeah, I think I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. So anyway.
Call me if you have any questions. I'll help you out.
I finally get your number now after years of trying.
That's all it takes, guys.
Now, how are you doing? Now, your last fight, I was like, okay, there's three fights on this. I was going to bet on you, Sarah, and then Ray Borg. And obviously, and Ray Borg was the one where I'm like, nah, Ray Borg, this is wishful thinking. But you and Sarah, I was like, dude, Sarah McMahon, by the way. You and Sarah, I'm like, there's no way. Sarah Morass, I watched her last couple fights. I thought she lost her last couple fights. I figure Ashley's bigger, stronger, faster, better. What happened?
Well, I mean, you can break it down a few ways. A lot of people are like, oh, you know, I feel like you were winning, but you got caught. I mean, I do feel like I was winning, and then, you know, I made some poor decisions, which ultimately led to me getting caught in a submission. I don't like to say, oh, I just got caught, because I feel like that takes a lot away from my opponent, and I like to be respectful. You know, she was the better fighter that night. So we were striking, you know, went to the ground. We feel confident on the ground. You know, I'm a wrestler. I do jiu-jitsu as well. I'm only a blue belt, but I've beat girls all the way up to brown belt and all over the place. So we knew the only thing that she had, that only tools really, were some really Gumby-like shit off her back, you know? And what I did wrong was get out of the armbar initially and then go right back into her guard, where that was her world. You know, if she was going to pull off a submission, if she was going to pull off a win, that was where she was going to do it. And so I made the poor decision of getting out of the arm bar and engaging with her on the ground again. I should have either, you know, had her stand back up, you know what I mean, like pass the guard right away instead of going right back into her guard. So that's where I fucked up. But looking back now, I did defend the arm bar, the first arm bar correctly. The second time, you know, I tried to attempt to defend the arm bar. She just had it in really tight. I didn't tap as soon as I should, so it looked kind of nasty, which it was, you know what I mean? But nothing dislocated or anything like that. I'm back to training in a week, too.
So, like, what did you do wrong there? Like, does it seem like, okay, you did everything you were supposed to do to defend the armbar?
I mean, there's probably a few things that I could have done better. You know, like, okay, someone when you're in someone's guard and they're armbarring you, like, if I had to break it down right now, you want to stack them, you want your knee behind their butt, you want to heavy top pressure, you know, not too far forward so you don't get swept. And like I said, initially, I did all those things for the first armbar. And the part where I messed up was going back into her guard to give her the ability to get another armbar.
So you should have pulled out right away, maybe stood back up. No, I'm not even making a sense. No. First of all, I didn't pull out last night. I got to go pick up Plan B at fucking Rite Aid this morning. But that's so. The moral of the story is always pull out.
$50.
I know for a plan. I know $50, or you're gonna spend a lifetime spending money on a kid. So like $50 does not seem that expensive. But so is that what So you should have, once you figured out, okay, she's got the arm bar, you should have just then let her back up and just to standing?
Exactly, you know, or got out the arm bar and transitioned right away to passing her guard.
Ah.
So, I mean, if I want to keep it on the ground, which I feel comfortable on the ground, I should have passed her guard. If I wanted to strike with her, since we were, you know, kind of bringing it to her on standing, I should have made her stand back up. Or the ref would have done that if I would have backed away a little bit. You know, it's just something that they do. Okay, you're not engaging. Stand back. Stands the fighter back up.
That was always a problem I had coming from a wrestling background in jiu-jitsu, was ending up in people's guards. Because it's like, as a wrestler, your natural reaction isn't to pass the guard. It's just to take the person down.
Yeah.
And you do it 9,000 times as a kid. So then you're stuck there. But looking back, if you actually... 2.0, your next fight, you're going to pass person's guard right away?
Yeah, I mean, I said this on my social media after the fight. Like, sometimes I feel like, okay, I'm in the UFC, you know. Like, at one point I was ranked number 11. For this fight, I was ranked number 15. I'm like, all right, like, I'm a seasoned veteran. And then shit like this happens, and I'm like, all right, I've had a total of 8 professional fights. Andrew Nexting's had 30, you know what I mean? I'm like, holy shit, I'm such a fucking rookie. You know, and I make little mistakes like this.
Not only that, but I mean, that happens.
You always get better.
And then you saw like Matt Hughes against BJ Penn get caught in an armbar. I mean, these guys, you see how all the time people get caught in armbars who are way more advanced than you.
I feel like, I'm not saying that I'm like super inexperienced. I just feel like, you know, there's no substitute for cage time. And sometimes you feel like, all right, 5 fights is a lot of fights. 8 fights is a lot of fights. But then you look at people and their fight IQ, which is, I believe I would say, making those split-second decisions in the cage, you know, so that you can win. Your fight IQ is dictated on a lot of things. And the number one thing, I believe, is experience. And I think I just need more fights, more.
Well, you also had such a crazy career with the whole Fallon Fox fight, which brought you to, like, national headlines.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm talking about SportsCenter, CNN type stuff,
yeah,
where other people have not had to go through that. So everyone's eyes were on you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's not, and then when you won, you became like a hero, not necessarily of what you wanted to do, you just wanted to fight.
Yeah.
And you're the champion for something where you're just like, I just fucking signed up to fight.
Yeah.
And everything you say is being misconstrued, where you're like, oh, she was tough. You say one thing, it's like, oh, well that, you know, so.
Yeah.
That, you know, I understand you've only had 8 fights, but you've also been like a national fighter, hero, slash villain, slash whatever. So it's different, you know? It's not like 8 fights when someone in Legacy or someone, you know?
Yeah. No, I mean, you're right. I remember actually walking out to the cage, and maybe I shouldn't have been focused on this, but I remember hearing the announcer, you know, as I was walking out to the cage for my last fight, say, Ashley Evans Smith, who's had over half of her professional fights here at the ultimate level. And I'm like, oh, shit, I have. You know, so it's, of my 8 fights, I fought the top level. I've never said no to a fight. You know, clearly, I just don't know how to say no, even if it was not for my best interest, but it's because I believe in myself. So, you know, I'm not saying I'm an extreme rookie. I just think that I have to step back sometimes and realize that I got put in an organization, the top level, with only 3 fights.
And you're also very hard on yourself. Like, I've talked to you after fights where, like, you've went into, like, some deep depression. And like, you're my friend. So, and I understand it. Look, as a coach, and I know I'm only a junior high school coach, but I would much rather have somebody flip out after a loss than not care. When someone cries after they lose, to me, it's not they're a baby. They actually give a shit about what they're doing.
Yeah.
So, but then there's the point where you could beat yourself too much, where people, like, they go into this dark place where they never really come back. Where do you see yourself in that spectrum?
I'm definitely somewhere in the middle. You know, I'm an extremely emotional person, whether it's, you know, regarding fighting or not. So, I mean, fighting right now, I hate to say this because I don't want my whole identity to be a fighter. You know, I do other things. I love other things. And I am, you know, other things. But right now in my life, fighting really is everything. So when I lose or something, you know, things don't go the way that I thought they were going to go, it's hard. It's very hard. It's everything. You know, you're sacrificing. You're doing all these things, you know. So when I lose, you know, and now that I've unfortunately lost 2 in a row, you know, you get into that point, not quite a depression, but you start second guessing, is this the sport for me? You know, am I in the right place training wise? Am I doing the right things, personal life? And there you can go one of 2 ways. You go, oh my God, you know, life is so, this is horrible, I'm not going to do this anymore, and you quit. Or you go, okay, maybe I'm not doing things correctly, and then you reassess and you get better. And the fighters that quit, I mean, you know, you probably heard, we don't have to name names, but that happens. But if you don't go that way, then you reassess the situation, you work on your training, you work on the game plan, and you get better.
Right.
You know? So ultimately, like, it's just about don't get too hard, don't be too hard on yourself, but be hard enough to where you can improve. You can't just go out there and do the same shit over and over and over, otherwise you're not learning. So take the fight, you know what I mean? You and I just talked about what I need to work on, what I should have done. Obviously, I know what I should have done. And then the next fight, you know, don't hold on to the past loss, you know what I mean? If you're focusing on losing, that's probably what's going to happen again. Just grow.
Well, so tomorrow you're going to TriStar, right?
Yeah, I'm actually flying to Canada for a week just across town, TriStar Vancouver.
Are you excited about that?
Yeah, yeah.
Have you been there before?
No, I haven't.
So it's going to be you and GSP training together?
No, actually, it's a sister gym. That's Montreal.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Which one? You're going to Vancouver?
Vancouver, yeah.
Who are the guys? Anybody you know there?
So I actually met Cajun Johnson and his team down there. They were on the same card. Cajun Johnson was the guy. If you saw the fight.
He's a good-looking guy. Are you you guys, is that your type?
Oh, that's why you're heading up there.
Is that your, no, because you have a specific type, which is like kind of dark skin, ripped, bad boy. Cajun Johnson definitely fits that mold.
He's a nice guy. He's not a bad boy.
I don't know. He's a rapper. Yeah, he's a rapper.
Does he rap?
He's a rapper and a fighter. I would say
one rap song.
I would say those are bad boy qualities.
I don't have a type.
Uh-huh. Okay. Now, now since I've known you, you've had about 6 boyfriends. The one guy you dated, like the Latin guy that was the bodybuilder. And then there was another guy who's a fighter, and now this boyfriend you had recently, what happened there? Are you guys still together? Yeah. Oh, the tattoo face guy. That guy's blocked out of my memory. Forget that guy. I forgot about tattoo face. Jesus Christ.
Tell me about tattoo face
guy. No, he was the Jesse Jess guy, the guy who got knocked out at Team Alpha Male. Cody Garbrandt's cousin. Yeah, that guy who's like, yeah.
What's he up to?
How does he get you?
Maybe I do like bad boys.
Like, yeah, seriously. How does a guy like that? I mean, like, is your dad, you hate your dad or something? what happened?
Jeez. Oh, shit.
What a question.
How did we start dating?
Yeah.
Through freaking social media.
Tattoo face. So he's like, hey, you're my kind of girl. And you look at him and you see tattoos everywhere. And the guy has like his ex-girlfriend is like all kinds of charges against him. And you're like, this is the guy?
Like, I like to see the good in people.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So I'm the kind of person, honestly, like, yes, there were some red flags that I didn't pay attention to.
But, red flags? Like,
burning flags.
Yeah, burning flags. Like,
that was the red part. Yeah.
I just feel like no matter what, whether it's a dating situation, a coaching, or work environment, people are always going to have shit to say about someone. And you can't go around judging people off of what other people say about them. Otherwise, no one would be friends.
But if it's said in court, I would say that's probably like... So do you watch Lock Up and Masturbate? Like, are you like, oh, this is the, like, is this the type of stuff? Like,
no, I'm not into criminal charges. It's not like on my checklist of guys to get.
You got to go for nice. You got to get a nice guy. The last one I liked, the guy that I saw on the FaceTime. He seemed like a normal guy.
Yeah, I do date normal guys.
I mean, not normal as in like no priors, you know, like he just, but.
Only a couple tattoos, maybe like
I mean, because you have a tattoo on your head. Yeah. You're all tatted up. Like, do guys have to have tattoos to go out with you?
No, not at all.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you ever been out with a guy who didn't have a tattoo?
Yes. Last guy didn't have one tattoo.
Didn't it? Wow.
Yeah.
And how did he meet you?
The gym.
Okay. So now, okay. So what happened? So you're working out, and a guy smiles at you, and then
not like that.
No.
Not like that. I was training with a strength and conditioning coach, and then my strength and conditioning coach needed a substitute fill in, and my ex at the time.
You banged the sub.
No, I mean, eventually.
Wow. That's, there's going to be like a whole list of subs. So like, well, you know what? Listen, Cajun Johnson, good work. Okay. I got my eyes on you, but I got my eyes on you, buddy. No, you're going over there. I don't want you to. Yeah, you're going to train. You're going to train. Okay, that's good.
Sex will keep you fit.
Oh my God.
Yeah, well, she's pretty. Now you look. I know. I've seen you. I remember you telling me that back in the day. You're like, I have the body of Adam Sandler. Yeah. And you don't look like Adam Sandler anymore. You look very in shape. Are you purposely staying in shape to not, between fight camps, a healthier lifestyle? What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, I just, it's a collective of things. One, the 125 pound weight class is a thing now. So I just thought, okay, if I keep my weight down, a fight opportunity comes up and they throw that out there, I'll just be ready. Two, at some point in your career, after years of wrestling, you just get tired of cutting weight and you're just like, it's the last thing I want to focus on. I want to focus on the fight. I want to focus on anything else besides cutting weight. It's fucking miserable. So yeah, I've kept my weight down for that reason as well. It just sucks to cut a buttload of weight. Yeah, that's about it. I mean, my diet has gotten a lot better. You realize that like later in life, after your fight career, you can eat as much as you want.
What did you wrestle at? What?
In high school and in college, 144 was for the girls and the 145s for the boys.
And you can make 125 now? You think?
Well, so then I started fighting at 145, and then the UFC added the 135-pound division, and so I cut down there, and then my body just kind of adapted. I started walking around a little bit lower. I went vegan 2 years ago, and so I just got a little bit lighter, started being healthier, and yeah, now I think potentially I might want to try a test cut. I am still a large woman, you know?
No, you're not a large woman. I'm
5'8", and I'm probably walking around like 145.
Andrew's a large woman. You know, by the way, so all right, that's
Thank
good
you.
For you. You're doing good.
I'm
happy for you, Ash. You seem like you're in a good, healthy place. You're in a good place.
I mean, minus the fucking last two losses. You know what I mean?
Look, the one girl you fought. I thought in that one. I've been to that one fight against the Brazilian girl who beat Sarah McMahon. And I thought maybe wrestling was sort of like you tried to like engage her in a stand-up battle. Looking back, I would say wrestling probably you should have used a little more.
I mean, look what happened to Sarah. Obviously.
Good point. All right, that girl's good. This next one, I think you just got caught. But I think you're a great fighter, and I think that, like you said, it's just growing pains. And please don't base your value of who you are on, you know, getting caught in an armbar in a sporting event, because you're much more than that. I mean, you came and you helped my wrestling team. You helped coach. You know, you're a cool metal chick. You have horrible taste in men. But other than that, you're doing all right. You're doing all right.
Where did you wrestle?
Ukiah High up in Northern California, and then Menlo College, which is in the Bay Area.
It's cool.
Yeah.
The girl wrestling team, right?
Yeah, that's actually pretty much why I went to college, just to wrestle.
We had a kid on my wrestling team that I coach. This girl took down this boy, and all the kids were like, ooh, they were going crazy. And I had to put a stop to that real quick. I was like, hey guys, listen, I don't want to see that at all. There's no men wrestling and girl wrestling on this team. It's just wrestling, okay? And if I see anybody, I go, you don't disrespect the women by going crazy when they get a takedown. We expect them to get takedowns, yeah. You know? But I felt bad, though. The kid was, you know, it's always hard when a guy wrestles a girl because the crowd automatically takes the girl's side. And as if losing isn't hard enough to anybody, now it's you're in a fucking after school special. And the crowd thinks that they're doing the right thing by cheering for the girl, when in actuality, all they're doing is reinforcing the stereotype that girls aren't as strong as men.
Yeah.
And I wish that the crowd would just treat it like anything else,
yeah,
and look at them as wrestlers. But you can't educate people as they walk into a wrestling arena to go, hey, don't cheer too loud, for, you know, but it's hard.
No, I mean, at that age as well, you know, I mean, middle school?
Middle school, yeah.
Middle school, come on. You know, like somebody farts and the whole class is erupting and
yeah,
after, you know, so for them to grasp the idea of like, you know, equality and, you know, women's rights and all that, it's a little far advanced. You just have to teach them eventually, you know, that that wrestling is wrestling.
Did you wrestle a lot of guys in high school, or did you beat any guys?
Yeah, I wrestled on a high school boys high school team, and I wrestled all the boys tournaments. I only really did a couple of the girls tournaments, the big ones like regionals, state and all that. And then I remember, I think I might have told you this story in high school, I'll never forget this. I beat a couple boys, but the one that really stuck out, it was a dual meet. So I'm up, I beat this guy, pinned him, I go and put my stuff on, and then like a little while later, this boy comes over and he sits next to me and he's like, hey. I've seen guys get mad. They usually get just mad, throw their headgear. I've seen, I've made a guy cry. Yeah. But this guy took a whole new approach. He walks over and he goes, hey, you want to hang out sometime?
Was it Renato Laranja? Really? And then what did you say?
And I was just like, he was from like another school far away. I was like, I don't know.
Wait, so the guy that you pinned asked you out?
Yes, the boy that I pinned.
So he got rejected twice that day.
He's into that woman dominatrix type of stuff.
He was a future S&M guy for
sure. Yeah. Wow. That's that. Now, speaking of which, do guys that you know you're a fighter, how many weird requests do you get online from people? I mean, you must get, because you're tattooed up, you're a fighter.
Let's go through the DMs.
I mean, do you get a lot of strange things?
You know, I think I get a lot of feet requests. I think that's the weirdest one.
What's a lot? Like,
if I had to put a number on it, like a few a week.
Wow.
That is a lot.
So you guys are like, hey, you have great feet. Yeah. Can you send me a picture?
Exactly.
And can you autograph it?
Don't even ask for an autograph.
Because that's probably CB Gold. And then what do you say to them? Do you respond?
I don't respond at all because it's weird. But then some of them will go take it a little farther and they'll say, I'll give you money. And they'll like just anything they can for feet pictures.
Now, do you know girls that actually sell the stuff or no?
No, but I've had a lot of guy friends go, hey, I'll send pictures of my feet and you give me the money. And I'm like, I don't think that's going to work.
How much money are these guys trying to spend for feet?
They'll start real low, like, hey, I'll give you like $25. And they'll like, you know.
They keep going high?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't really like engage with him, so I'm not sure.
It makes some good money if it hits rock bottom.
Yeah. Fuck Pluto TV. We're going to fucking Foot Locker. We got to call Askren on FaceTime. Do you have a.
Let me grab my computer.
Yeah. We got Ben Askren, by the way, one of the greatest fighters in the world, one of the best wrestlers, the most pins in the history of college wrestling. And it's a shame because he's undefeated and looks like he will never be in the UFC.
I would never say never with the UFC. I mean, there was never going to be women's, and Cyborg was never going to fight. You know what I mean? So
never say never, but it just seems like he doesn't want to be in the UFC.
Well, I guess you'd have to ask him. But I mean, nothing is impossible when it comes to UFC. It's such a growing and emerging, you know, organization. You don't know. I don't think they even know.
Yeah. No, it's true. We're going to talk about some of the UFC fights from last week, as well as Bellator's fight. I had a crazy comedy show over the weekend. I did a show. Thursday was hard because it was like an apartment complex, like in their meeting room. They now do comedy shows. It pays pretty good money, but I had to be PG-13, and which.
How the hell did you pull that off?
it was hard. I did okay, but it was like it was like all. It was in Hollywood, so it was like Hollywood audiences are usually the worst because it's all actors, and the actors are just looking at you going, I can do that, I can, or should I do that, or maybe I can do that. It's almost like you're doing comedy for extras. So that was Thursday. Friday was the Ice House, and man, like, there are certain shows you have where they make all the shitty, horrible shows worth it, and that was Friday and Saturday night, Laugh Factory on Saturday, and I was nervous.
What happened that made it so worth it?
The crowd was just erupting. Like, I felt like the funniest human being on the planet.
So it's like you like feed off the energy of the crowd.
That 100%. I mean, yeah, and like, you ever have those like just terrible wrestling practices, and then all of a sudden you start hitting all your moves. Yeah. Those 1 or 2 days MMA where you're like putting everything together.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how it was at the Laugh Factory, and it was a sold out show, which made me nervous because, you know, when there's 20 people in the crowd and like let's say 10 don't laugh, you're like, oh whatever, it's 10 people. But when there's 300 people and 300 people don't laugh, then you're just not funny. So it's actually a lot more pressure. But they did laugh. But they were laughing so hard in the beginning of my set that I don't know if I could follow my own set. I'm like, which happens sometimes when you do crowd work. You fuck with the crowd and everyone just erupts.
Yeah.
And then you're like, fuck, I can't go back to material. That's happened before. You want to just
the crowd the whole time.
Can, but when it's 300 people, it's too many people to do crowd work because everyone can't see each other.
Yeah.
And when there's 10 people, you can sort of like, some people want to be fucked with. And there are times that like, it's just like being a point guard. The times where like material's working, don't fuck with the crowd. Times where material's not working, fuck with the crowd.
I was just going to ask you, like, do you have like, all right, now's the time for crowd work, or do you just play it by ear?
I play it by ear usually. And it depends how long I'm doing, because if I'm doing an 8 minute set, I don't want to fucking waste 8 minutes on crowd work.
Yeah.
But if I'm doing, an hour set, I'm like, okay, now I could like, I have time to kind of fuck. And also it's a lot of times it's, like it's what someone gives me, you know, like you have to deal with the moment.
Feel it out.
Yeah. But it was hard. I did a show in Washington, and there was these women, and but I thought it was a guy. It was a lesbian woman, but she was dressed, short hair. She was wearing like a suit or something. And I was like, oh, how's it going, sir? And everyone laughs. And I was like, miss. I mean, miss. And then I'm like, crowd, you could see where I got confused, right? Like, it's not just me. And then she was laughing. I'm like, oh, what's your name? She's like, Amanda. I'm like, see, you even have man in your name. And then she goes, I'm going to use that. So, like, that was good.
Yeah,
but that's when it gets hard sometimes, when, like, those kind of shit happen. So, the Laugh Factory was cool. And then my dog, I took my dog to the vet. My dog has bronchitis. So he was wheezing a lot. So we thought he was just getting old.
Is that really a thing? Dogs can cough?
Yeah. He was coughing a lot. And I'm like, I don't know if he was getting, So it turns out, took him to the vet. He had bronchitis. So I have to give him 2 pills a day, but he doesn't take the pills. I got to put him in his food. I got to, you know, sneak him in his treats or something.
Yeah, do you put peanut butter on the treat and then you give it to him?
Well, we don't have peanut butter in the place, but I've been putting him in, like, I've been melting cheese around it. But then he's been spitting out he's been eating the cheese and spitting out the thing.
Yeah, cheese will make your dog really gassy.
Yeah, but he's gassy anyway. So, I mean, and my dog farts so much that when I fart in bed, I blame it on the dog. And my wife completely believes it. Sometimes I feel bad because he gets like, come on, Miles. And it was clearly me.
Isn't there a Seinfeld episode where the dog's like coughing too and Kramer takes him to the...
Oh, really?
The dog has the same cough as Kramer.
Yeah.
And he didn't have insurance, so he took the dog to the...
Oh, that's hilarious.
He was like, what medicine is that you're giving it to?
Yeah, you know, it was $400 for fucking take my dog to the vet. $400.
Oh, yeah.
I was like...
My dog got fleas the other day. When fleas can turn into staph, they can turn into worms and all these different things. So if you don't take care of fleas, then you're fucked. Almost $300
They could eat the fleas and
They get worms. And then
yeah.
He did that. And then he got bit and he licked it and turned into staph. And I'm like, just so careful with fleas.
Jesus. Yeah. So that was that. And then me and my girl went to the art museum yesterday. We had date day. We're doing once a week date night or once a week date day if we did that. So we went to the museum in Malibu, art museum. It was so boring. But I had to pretend to kind
Getty?
Of be. Yeah, the Getty. You've been there?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, some nice sculptures and stuff, but I'm just not really into museums.
Yeah. I've been to a couple. I mean, it's only when I'm traveling, like New York. We went to what's the famous museum there?
Yeah, Museum of Modern History
MoMA. But it's not the funnest stuff.
No. Yeah.
You leave, you're like, all right, I am cultured. Let's go back to doing.
Right. Exactly. But I'll tell you, though, we did have amazing sex afterwards. That was just good. And I know it's good sex when she apologizes during sex. Like, when we get into a fight and she yells at me and then we have sex that night, she's like, if I'm doing it really well, she's like, I'm sorry for yelling at you. Like, that's when I know I'm doing it. And then if it's really good, she apologizes for stuff she didn't do. She's like, sorry about the Holocaust. You know, like, no, but she seriously does. Do you apologize during sex or no? No, you never apologize ever, do you?
I'm more thankful. I'm like, thank you.
Really?
Well, sometimes when
you thank the girl during sex,
I'm like, oh my god.
But you thank your girlfriend during sex, really?
Sometimes if it's
you say thank you.
Well,
that's kind of cute.
Like, thank you. I'm like, sorry, girlfriend. I don't want to even call her.
You say thank you and then you apologize for like, nah, man. It's you know what? It's man, nutting early is I don't nut early, but. But then my girl's like we were like the other day we were having sex yesterday and we're having sex and it's going really well and then she's like, oh, I want you to come for me or something, and then I come and then she's like, why did you come in me? I'm like, well, you should have said come for me outside of me. You didn't finish the sentence, right? You have to like.
That is true.
Right?
You gotta be specific of where you want it.
Yeah.
I feel like as soon as like the girl says that, the guy's like, okay.
You said it. You said it.
Like as soon as you say it, it's like they've been holding on to every. They're like, just say it. Just say it. Just say it. As soon as you say it, like, all right. You know, it's like they were waiting.
Yeah,
the
they're
whole
thrusting
time.
In a way to like not.
That's hilarious.
Oh, she said it. I'm in.
So when you say, you have to like be sure. Like this is the time that I want to happen.
Do you say it usually? What time period did you like 30 minutes?
I never tell them.
You never?
Yeah, I mean.
Oh, Interesting. Now, in your life, you're a fighter. You're a hard rock chick. Also, you go to metal concerts. So guys assume that, oh, Ashley's probably just nuts in bed. Like, there's probably like, you know, chainsaws and stuff. Oh, but then sometimes I think that maybe that's the time that you just want to like, just kind of take it easy. Nothing. All right, so I don't really have one. We're calling Ben Askren. I'm just waiting for him to fucking. All right, so calling you now.
2 seconds.
Calling you in 2 seconds. All right, so, all right, let's talk about some of the fights before we cut to Askren. Yushin Okami must have the worst fight IQ in the history of fights. I mean, you know that OSP.
Put him in his position, man.
Has won his last three fights in a row by Von Fluchoke, which, and then he puts him in that, like, what was that?
It makes no sense to me. We talked about it with Eve and Dennis.
Yeah.
I don't know why he did that. He sat under right into, like, half guard. We're like, OSP kind of likes to be. And then he reaches up for his head, like he's going to get a guillotine on him, and then he gets, like, it makes no sense.
I watched the fight. I only watched a few of them. But, like, as, you know, as a fighter, it's like, come on. Shit doesn't always go the way you plan. And my fight, it's like sometimes you know the person fighting, you know their move, and you still get caught. That just means they're really fucking good at their move.
I know. I was super impressive. But at the same time, you're like, man, I thought Okami was going to win. I picked Okami. I'm like, he's going to be some boring decision. OSP's going to gas. And then it's just like, it's like going up against Randy Couture and like pulling, letting him do ground and pound on you. I mean, why would you do that out of all the, but you know what? He took the show on short notice. Maybe it's easier said than done.
Maybe you should have just say good for.
I'm not ragging on anybody. I'm not ragging on him. I'm just.
He went right into the wheelhouse.
Tried his best, so.
I was just shocked. I wasn't ragging on him. I was just shocked. Yeah, no, good for OSP. Absolutely. Absolutely. And then some of the other fights. The Jessica Andrade Claudia fight. That was another one I picked wrong. I thought after Joanna fought Andrade that the book was out on how to beat Andrade. And man, I mean, people were saying that she's got to be on stuff. I don't know. Picking people up and throwing them out of the cage might give you an indication, but what the fuck?
She did like that Dan Henderson throw.
Like three times.
The one that Cormier did to Dan Henderson, like just like put him up. I was like, what?
At one point she had like her finger out and was spinning her like a break dancer or something.
Helicopter, WWE style.
Yeah, that was insane. That was insane.
You get that number for me?
Yeah, so we're calling Ben Askren right now. But that was, I mean, good for her, but do we want to see her versus Joanna again? Well, Joanna's got to beat Rose.
Well, I mean, I feel like if the fighter improves from camp to camp, it's not going to be the same fight. And I think that this girl, you know, Andrade, this fighter is becoming better and better and better. So it's not necessarily going to be a repeat.
Not necessarily, right? And then, and if Joanna clears out the division, you got to. But Joanna might go to 125, they're saying.
Yeah.
Which I think she would win at 125. I don't know who's going to beat her at 125. Who do you think?
I don't know. I think, like, is she really a 125er, or is she just tired of cutting away? I mean, there's women that are going down from 35s down to 25s that are probably going to be way bigger than her, you know? And then is she going to sacrifice her, you know, is it going to be, like, a size thing versus skill? So I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll beat her.
Maybe I'll beat her.
I would love to see that. I'd be so happy. I could see it, too. I'll pick you over anyone. And it's probably because you're my friend, but also because I honestly think you could pull it off. Yeah. I think the right, you know.
We're ready for Ben.
Yeah, we're calling Ben Askren right now.
So you may want to scoot over if he wants to see you. But,
me?
Just because it's a yeah. Face.
Yeah, he does. Who doesn't want to see you? Hold on.
Scoot over this way.
All right, calling Ben. You look good. Hey, is this funky Ben Askren? You look handsome, man. You got a haircut?
We got an error. Let me call back.
Yeah. You look good, man. You look good. Are you ever gonna go bald? Probably not, right? That was it. That was quite the interview. What's up, Ash? You got to send me this.
I'm Instagramming while podcasting.
What happened? Now he's gonna get mad.
Crash real fast.
Oh, jeez.
You just edit this out later?
Yeah. Good. All right, so here we are. Calling you back. Yeah. On Pluto TV. May roast it on Pluto TV. No signal?
We'll do it without this guy.
Fuck. All right.
Just want to make sure the recorder works. The stop on the 261? Yeah.
Hey there, here we go. How are you, man?
Yeah, you guys ditched me. I'm good.
No. So I was going to say, congrats on your last win, man. That was awesome.
Thank you. Are we live right now or no?
Yeah, we're live. Well, not live. When we're talking, it's being recorded, but we're not actually airing. How's it going, man? You made that guy look foolish.
Well, yeah, he wasn't that good.
You're beating everybody, man. Now, are you really going to retire after your next fight?
Well, you know, I did obviously leave that one opening. If I get to somehow fight the number one person in the world, whose name is not Tyron Woodley, then I will come back for that opportunity. But other than that, I'm done.
Why?
I mean, the two reasons is, well, number one, I said that I read athletes' biographies growing up, and nobody, I mean, like, you can count them on your hands, people that have retired on time in any sport. I mean, you know, really, no one does. They all stay. We have this arch of our career, right? And it's like this. Everyone stays till they're like way down the hill and they freaking suck at it, right? And so that's one. I didn't want to stay till I sucked. And then number two would be, you know, competing is a selfish thing, really selfish. And I got kids now. I'll have my third kid in December, and I coach. And so when I'm focusing on myself, I'm obviously taking away from them. And I don't want to do that anymore. And that was kind of something I put on myself when I was younger. I said, I want to be able to give back. And I said I'd retire by 30. When I was 30, I still felt pretty good. But now I'm 33 and I feel like it's just time to go.
But isn't it going to bother you a little bit being such a competitor that you're going to watch some of these guys and think, I can beat any of these guys right now?
But I think that all the time. What's different?
Well, yeah, but at least now you're competing. But the fact that you're not competing and watching these guys.
No, it won't bother me at all. I mean, I guess it might bother me, but it won't bother me to the point that I'm going to bother coming back or something. I'll be satisfied. I'm very satisfied with what I've done in my career, and I'm sure I'll move on to other endeavors that I'm going to enjoy very much and take a lot of passion in.
So you and Fader are going to go down as the two best fighters to never be in the UFC.
Yeah, that's probably fair. I was sad to see when he came out of retirement because obviously, you know, this is what I'm talking about. He's much diminished from what he was. If we remember, you know, if we all remember what he was 10 years ago and then what he is now, it's like he's a shell. It's almost sad to see. You know, and with a lot of MMA fighters, they don't develop. You know, this is a funny podcast, but this is kind of a sad topic for me is a lot of these MMA fighters don't develop another skill set or anything else they want to do in life. And they get to this point, they say, I want to retire. And then they just have nothing else for themselves in life. They have no other way to make money. They have nothing else to put their time and effort into. And so there's this void. And then they end up coming back because they have no way to make money and they have nothing else to do. So they end up fighting. And then, you know, it just happens over and over and over again. And all of a sudden they're fighting until the time they're 40 and they're 40 and they have no skills in life. And man, that's a scary thing.
That's true. But now it's also funny that you've never even been rocked in a fight.
Never.
Now, right? Have you ever seen a star or anything?
No, I don't believe so.
That's pretty amazing. That's pretty incredible to have, 17 yeah. wins, Bellator champion. Now, do you think, Jay Haran dropped you.
No, he didn't. He body kicked me.
Didn't he drop you and then raise his hands?
No, it was a body kick. And, you know, I was exhausted that round. And that fight taught me a few good things. I was exhausted that round. And so then it was like, hey, why don't you come down here on the ground with me? Because that body kick didn't really hurt at all. But he did not want to come back down to the ground with me.
Was he your toughest fight?
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, that was really early in my career, and everyone always points to that one, but it's like, shit, I was 2.5 years into fighting at that point in time, and training, that was the first fight that I trained, like, full-time, that's all I was doing for, And, you know, I did a few things. That probably taught me a few things. Number one, I can wrestle and grapple all day, but stand-up fighting kind of is a different, I don't know, different shape. And I was exhausted in the fifth round. And then number two is I had not done any wrestling prior to that fight. So, you know, obviously I knew my wrestling skills would never leave, but I had to keep them really sharp. And so I started wrestling once or twice a week with good people after that fight.
Yeah, no, I remember actually I used to watch Jay Haran when back in the day. His name was Jay Hieronymus. And in like Long Island, he was
Jay
the
Hieronymus,
man. He was the man until he got kicked out of Hofstra, I think, for selling weed or something. But back in the day, he was the man. Now I got a couple questions for you. Who do you think wins, GSP or Bisping?
I think Bisping. You know, GSP is another one. Now he's been in retirement. He can't stay retired, right? And I think him coming back at 185 is totally ridiculous. A weight that, to my knowledge, he's never ever fought. I think he should have came back and fought Tyron Woodley. You know, everyone said, well, he beat everyone at 170. Well, he beat everyone at 170 4 years ago. He didn't beat everyone at 170 now. He's never beaten Tyron Woodley. So I don't understand why he's coming back. I guess cash grab. And then, you know, I think he is worried about the brain damage thing. And obviously Tyron hits significantly harder than Michael Bisping does. So maybe that's why he doesn't want to fight Tyron. I'm not really sure. But I think Bisping takes it. I think he might get taken down. But if you ever watch Michael Bisping fight, he is very challenging to keep down. So I see GSP maybe taking him down, but he will not keep Bisping down.
Now, you and Bisping were like beefing for a while. You guys are cool now?
Yeah, I saw him in Vegas one time, and it was like, it was no serious hard feelings. It was like talking trash on Twitter, right?
Yeah.
The first I talked trash on Twitter too.
Now, I mean, Conor McGregor called you pube head on Twitter. Did you guys Did you and McGregor ever straighten it out?
No, I've never seen him. I would straighten him out real quick.
Now, you think you could beat Conor McGregor?
Easy.
How? Hello?
Yes, took him down. Chad Mendes is a 141-pound wrestler. I'd take him down whenever the hell I wanted to.
I believe it. I would not bet against Askren on anything.
Bet against McGregor?
Now, everyone was booing Woodley at the last two fights that I've seen Tyron fight at.
I was there. I was in the corner.
Yeah, I saw you. What did you did you give him a pep talk afterwards? You tell him don't care.
No.
You didn't say they boo me too.
No. I've known Tyron since I was 17, and I know that, you know, a rah-rah pep talk is not going to motivate or move him at all, right? Tyron's going to go out there and do what he needs to do. You know, what a lot of people weren't accounting for was the fact that he hurt his shoulder in the first round pretty bad, and he couldn't really throw punches with nearly the effect that he would have otherwise. And you know, but he the other thing is he's very disciplined, right? He played a perfect game plan. He stopped like 27 takedowns. There's 27 in a row, something totally absurd. And so he did play a very disciplined game plan. And I think without that shoulder injury, he probably would have got the TKO in second round.
I mean, do you care? Like, I don't know anyone who gets more shit on Twitter than you, probably. Probably you, Khabib, Bisbing. Now, did you use it, Paulie Malignaggi, for a while? Do you care about it at all? Does it ever get to you?
No, I scroll through it. You know, the most annoying thing to me is when two or three people start arguing back and forth on my Twitter, and then I gotta like scroll like a whole bunch of times to get to the top. And I'm like, well, I would rather like kind of read what some people are saying, but I'm not gonna read these three people's conversation. It's super annoying. Like, can't they just take me out of it?
Yeah. Because I was wondering, but I mean, now when fans boo you, do you care at all about that at all or no?
No, not at all.
Yeah, you've always had that like wrestling, like WWE thing where you don't, as long as you, they care about you one way or the other.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Hey, I haven't got booed in a long time though, Adam. I think Spence is about 2011.
No, because you've been finishing fights, and even when you were getting booed, I'm like, I don't care. Like, I've always been the biggest fan of yours. Number one, I was a fan of yours back in Mizzou. And I was saying that your college has produced three champions. I don't know any other college that had Chandler was the Bellator champion, you were the one FC champion or one championship, and Woodley was the UFC champion. You all wrestle for the same college team, which is like not even one of the, like, what it, Mizzou was what, like number 10 in the country? Like, you would think everyone would have went to, Nebraska or, Iowa or whatever.
My senior. We finished number three my
They're
senior
much better
year.
Now.
Yeah. But that's pretty impressive.
So we finished up. Yeah, it really is. Yeah, there's some other colleges that have had really good output, you know. Oklahoma State, obviously being one. You got
ASU.
Cormier. You got Mogulwall, Shane Roller. Who am I? Oh, Johnny Hendricks, obviously. So they put out some really good people. Arizona State obviously put out some really good people. Bader, Dalloway, Aaron Simpson. And so you have these colleges, but then, you know, it's interesting because certain colleges don't put out any. For example, like Iowa or Minnesota. Well, hopefully Minnesota will have their first guy in Logan Storley. But some of these colleges that have really storied programs, their guys just don't go to fight for whatever reason. And that wasn't the case in Missouri. Obviously, we've had a bunch of guys who fought.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's just it's really cool to see. Now, the guy that beat you in college, who's the guy who was the ASU coach? He beat you. Yes. What was his name?
His name's Chris Pendleton.
Okay, Chris Pendleton. I hung out with him
that
one
up
night.
Every single time we do an interview, Adam?
He wants to be your friend. And
no,
he said,
doesn't.
He told me he wants to be your friend, but you won't talk to him.
Well, shut up. You are so full of crap.
I swear. I hung out with
you
him.
Are
I go,
so full of it.
I
so
swear.
Full of it.
I go, Chris, how come you won't hang out with Ben? He said, look, I reach out to Ben. I like Ben. Ben doesn't
Whatever.
Like me. I'm telling you, that's what happened. That's what happened. All right. So Colby Covington says that he beat up Tyron Woodley and you were there in practice. Were you there?
That's another fabrication. I have never been in the same room as Colby Covington since college wrestling.
Okay. Now, who do you think wins,
never.
Colby or Tyron?
He kills Colby. Colby's a freaking jabroni.
Now, do you think?
I remember here. I'll tell you. I remember Colby Covington thinking there's something wrong with this idiot. I was coaching an Arizona State kid when I was there. He was wrestling Colby Covington, who was from Oregon State. And Colby was significantly better than him. But every time Colby went back to the center, he was staring me down. And I'm like, hey, idiot, you're not wrestling me. And if you were wrestling me, you'd be on your back getting pinned right now. So stop freaking looking at me and go wrestle. You know, like, what's your freaking problem?
He was staring down the coach?
He was staring down me as the coach. And it's like, you suck. You can't even win an title. I would pin you in a minute. Just stop looking at me.
That's pretty. I got to side with Colby on that. To stare down the coach during your match is pretty fucking cool.
That happened in more than one match, and I was so annoyed by it. It was such an immature tactic by him. And then the fact of the matter is, he wasn't a tenth the wrestler I was. I mean, he never came close to winning a national title.
Do you think he beats Damian Maia?
It's possible. You know, I think his ground could use some work, and I think the fight will probably end up there sooner or later. You know, he's got some really good things going for him, but I would say his submission defense is suspect, and Damian Maia's about as good as it gets at locking on submissions. So I would say I could see a way where he could win, but I could also see a bunch of ways where he could lose.
Now, Thompson versus Masvidal, who wins that fight?
Probably Thompson. Masvidal has good output. He's going to move forward, but he doesn't hit that hard. And that's exactly what Stephen Thompson wants. You know, Stephen Thompson likes to pick and poke as he's moving backward. He's really tricky. And Masvidal's not going to be able to hit hard enough to really hurt him.
Now, national anthem. Should people be able to – what's your thoughts on the whole taking a knee?
Oh, we're going political. I mean, yeah, I think they should be able to kneel. America, one of the founding principles of America is free speech, right? And that would fall under those guidelines. The thing I would like to see out of the people who are kneeling, and Colin Kaepernick, the guy who started this, he's clueless because, you know, he's protesting oppression, but he wore a Fidel Castro shirt. And if anyone wants to do a basic Google search, they can see Cuba had one of the most oppressive regimes over the past 50 years. I mean, very, very oppressive. And so Kaepernick saying, I want to fight oppression, but I'm wearing a Fidel Castro shirt. That doesn't add up.
Right.
That's like 2 + 3 = 9, right?
Right.
And so if the tenets of your argument are, I want to fight oppression, don't wear a Fidel Castro shirt. So what I would like to see from the players who are kneeling, who are making this protest, who are using their right to free speech, is a more concise view of exactly what they want. because I don't know what they want. They want to fight oppression, but what does that mean? Because if you do also Google or, you know, any search, whatever, America is one of the freest and most upwardly mobile societies ever to grace planet Earth.
What happened?
Compared to other places in the world, the opportunities we have here are significant. And so I would like to know exactly what types of oppression. Name them. Name what system. Is it the colleges? They need to let more black people in. What is it, right? So name something very exact on what we need to do. Because as a white person, I don't want to oppress anybody.
Yes.
I don't want to be a racist, but if I'm doing something wrong as a white person, I need to know what I need to change, and I don't know what that is at this point.
The only thing you're doing is humping your opponents. But I 100%.
And they ain't black.
Yes, I 100% agree with you. I think you're right. I think,
except
everyone's like, people did not, we didn't fight for the war. I'm like, yeah, people didn't fight for the war of Kaepernick. Nobody fought for a war so that this guy could stand the national anthem. It just, you're absolutely right. They have we fought for our freedoms. They have the freedom to stand or kneel if they want. And people should just deal with it. But I 100% agree. Specifically, what I think it's police brutality is what that they're angry about, which makes sense. Because
when you look, I mean, and obviously statistics don't always tell the truth. They can lie. They can be skewed. They can be manipulated. But I don't think statistics bear that out. And obviously, you can point to anecdotal evidence of a few videos, which, you know, if we wanted to point to anecdotal evidence about anything, we could probably go find a couple instances of that happening. But, you know, I would like to see statistical evidence of how that's happening. And then obviously we could go from there.
Right. All right, back to MMA. So Kevin Lee versus Ferguson. I'm picking Kevin Lee. You?
Man, that's a coin flip. Because I could see it going either way. They wrestled together in college. That was pretty interesting. I listened to an interview with Kevin Lee. I think Kevin Lee's more dynamic. I think he's got better wrestling. I think Ferguson's probably got better cardio. The striking's different. Not quite as powerful, but he might have a better reach. So if he can dictate the range, I can see him winning. But if Lee can get on the inside and get the takedowns and stay on top, I can see him winning. So, man, I could really see that one going both ways.
Man, me too. Aaron Pico. Thoughts on Aaron Pico? Do you think, is he a hype? Is he the real deal? Is he mismanaged?
No, he's managed by the same management company that I am, so I do not think he's mismanaging. You know, I got thrown into Bellator against a guy who was, I think, 11-3 in my third fight. And then my fifth fight, I believe I was fighting Dan Hornbuckle, who was 21-2 or 22-2. And so, you know, for us wrestlers, we've been competing our whole lives, facing someone good. That's just what happens. They thought he was ready for that, and it's MMA. Crazy stuff happens. I mean, he walked into one kick, right? Everyone said it was that punch, but I really think it was that initial kind of kick off the bat that hit him that really caused the damage. I think he's going to be fine. I do think the one thing I see, and actually I texted my management about this, is that, you know, he boxed his whole life. He did Golden Gloves. I think he has that boxing mentality is you can get hit a little more often. The gloves are a little bit bigger. It's a little bit different. In MMA, that's just not the case, man. You really can't be taking too much shots because they will catch up to you sooner or later.
I agree. Now, wrestling, supposedly, they're going to have new uniforms in certain places. They're going to have, like, board shorts and kind of, like, judo. I think that's a great thing. I know as a kid wrestling coach, so many kids are like, fuck that, I have a small penis. I don't want people seeing my dick. And I hear you. You're at that age. Do you think – what's your thoughts on the singlets change?
Yeah, no, I love it. I love it. I think people who are against it are going to say, the popular – inflation wrestling didn't go up by 20%. See, no one cared. And, you know, my argument is, hey, if it's 3%, right, that's a big number. If it goes up by 2%, that's a big number. And so, you know, Adam, if you got 25 guys on your team, there might not be another 25 in the school who don't wrestle because of the singlet issue, but there might be three, right? Or there might be five. So even if it makes a small difference, that's a good difference. So I'm strongly in favor of it.
Is Ronda Rousey still block you?
Probably. You know who blocked me, who I was blocked by the other day because I clicked on someone to retweet him? Jeremy Stevens blocked me, and I have no idea why.
What did you say about him?
I don't know. I was in Showtime Pettis' corner when he kicked his butt like 6 years ago or something. And besides that, shit, I got no idea. That was funny. But, yeah, I'm sure Rousey still blocked me.
And now, do you think John Jones did it was a simple mistake, or was he trying to take steroids on purpose?
Well, if it was one time, I could see his case, but two times now, man, it's hard to believe that was a mistake if he tested positive two times, right? And then on top of that, I don't recall who made the argument, but it was a good one. You know, if he was willing to take cocaine, which is obviously not a performance enhancer, something very risky, where his moral code will say that he wouldn't take something that's going to help him, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, obviously, I think he did it. Two times in a row, man, that would be hard to mistake that for USADA.
Now, you and him had some kind of a Twitter beef, right?
We had beef, yeah, because I always had Daniel Cormier's back, and he always talks shit on Daniel.
Right. So. Have you ever met John Jones?
Yeah, but we were way younger. I mean, like, super young.
Who do you think would win in a grappling match? You or Jones?
Shoot, he's pretty big. I would do a takedowns match against John Jones. Like, first 1 to 5 takedowns. But he also has to take a drug test.
Okay. Right. Got it. Now, no, Bellator has some good-ass wrestlers. They have Ed Ruth. They have Darian Caldwell. How good can these guys be?
Who? Darian Caldwell and who else?
Ed Ruth.
Oh, awesome. You know, Ed's a little younger, so I think his upside's a little higher. I want to say Darian might be 30 or 31 now. Maybe a little younger than that, somewhere around there. But obviously, I guess his upside's already pretty high because he's probably going to win the Bellator title here in a couple weeks. So I guess that's a pretty significant accomplishment. So I shouldn't scoff at that. But, you know, I think Ed's going to be really good. Obviously, Darian's already really good. He's fighting for a Bellator title, and I think he's probably likely to win a Bellator title here in a couple weeks.
Now, we're here with Ashley Evan Smith, by the way. Ashley was a college wrestler. She's in the UFC. Yes. She's very beautiful, but she has a horrible taste in men. She needs a guy like you. Obviously, you're
that
taken.
Happens.
What advice would you give for this young fighter to get a better boyfriend? Because she's had horrible success.
You know, with my wife, honesty's always been the key. And so, like, I'll just tell her shit, and she always says, like, nobody else would tell their wife this. And I said, honey, from day one, I told you I was going to tell you the truth, the full truth, and nothing but the truth. And so, you know, we're kind of that same way with each other. No secrets, and that keeps everything real.
Now, I know you haven't used deodorant in 20 years. No, honestly, he
never
doesn't wear.
I have not. That's a fact.
No, he has not. Now, does your wife use deodorant?
She does, because she's way stinkier than I am.
that's okay. Natural. No, he does not use deodorant.
She uses the hippie kind, but she does use it.
All right. So, and then my final is Derek Lewis versus Verdum. Who wins this fight?
Oh, shoot. I have no idea on that one. I don't even have an opinion on that one.
You don't? Wow. That's the first time in the history of your life you didn't have an opinion.
Hey, Adam, actually, Ashley's a college wrestler. She should start a women's wrestling club because I have our wrestling clubs up here, but I need an adequately trained female wrestler to start a female wrestling club, you know? And maybe it's just 1 or 2 days a week, and then, you know, obviously they can wrestle with the boys also, but I think if there was just a girls-only class – that more females would be apt to give it a shot. So maybe she can start when they're in California with your help and let us know how it goes.
Well, yeah, they always go for the head and arm in MMA fights. How frustrating is that when you see a girl go for the head and arm every
If it works, do it, right?
No, but it works, what, half the time, you'd say?
For women, it's weird. It works. It's a much higher percentage, I believe.
Yeah,
like,
much higher.
Although Darian Caldwell hit it on Metcalf in the finals.
True. This is true.
That was one of the greatest things I've ever seen in my life.
That was awesome.
Are you a fan of Metcalf or no?
I'm somewhere in the middle. You know, I like parts of him and I don't like parts of what he does.
Yeah, you seem like you're kind of a different. You're like the hippie guy, and he's sort of like the after school jock, like the bad guy in the '80s movie.
Cut and out you're. There, Adam.
No, no. How come your brother never fought, Max?
Adam, you cut out there. I didn't hear your last question.
How come your brother Max never fought?
He had a bad back. So actually, when he finished college, he went straight to coaching, and he thought he would never even wrestle again. And then, you know, and then he ended up, he took some, I think, 2 or 3 years off, and he healed up. He ended up competing a little bit. And so, you know, he was just a little older and didn't really have that same desire to do that.
Oh, well, nice. Well, listen, Askren, you're an American hero. You're a great guy. Thank you for taking the time out to be on our show. Always a big fan.
All right. Thanks, Adam. Appreciate it. See you guys. Have a great day.
Bye.
All right. That was Ben Askren. Good dude right there. Fucking solid. Olympian wrestler. Olympian, national champion, undefeated.
Even throws it out there, just always trying to help the sport grow. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, that's something that I would love to do later in life. I just, you know, right now it's just, it takes a lot. Even, I know he said like one, two times a week, but it that's something I would just dive headfirst into and get into. But
oh, yeah.
I would definitely love to start, especially like kids all the way up to, you know, however old you want to be, because once you leave high school and college, there's really nowhere you can wrestle, you know, unless you make it to the Olympic level. And if you love wrestling, you want to keep wrestling. So I think it would be definitely something that I would do in the future.
Now, you were a national champion?
No, I was a four-time All-American. Fourth was the highest I ever got nationally.
That's really good.
That's awesome.
Fourth. Wow. Four-time All-American, even as a freshman.
Yeah.
Wow. Good for you.
That's what that means.
Yeah, yeah. That's
sophomore too.
That's crazy.
People are like, "What does that mean?" It's like, okay.
Nice. Oh, now, what do you get when you're an All-American? They give you the trophy or
T-shirt?
Really?
No.
You don't get a T-shirt or anything, or pasties.
No. You get medals, you know, like
pasties.
Wrestling's never for a material object.
No, but fourth place, you get a medal. Fourth
medal,
place,
right? Yeah, yeah.
That's cool. You get eighth place a medal.
I believe it's six and higher is All American, but it could be wrong.
It's shorter for the girls a little bit. Guys,
yeah.
Eight.
Yeah.
It might be eight. Don't quote me. Not sure.
That's cool. By the way, I want to thank guys. Football's back. Yes, football's back. The wait's nearly over, which means FanDuel's back. Fantasy football for everyday fans. New contest starting every week. No busted seasons. That's the worst. You have a fantasy team, and all of a sudden you're busted 2 weeks in. That's not it here. You got something for everyone. Lots of contests to choose from, starting at just $1. Just pick a contest, choose your team, and watch your score real time. I've been playing FanDuel. I'm winning every week. I feel like a real champion here. And over 2.5 million players have won cash prizes playing fantasy sports on FanDuel. Sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com, click the Join Now button, and use my code, MMA Roasted. New users get free entry into the NFL Sunday Million with over $1 million in cash prizes when you make your first deposit on FanDuel. Go to FanDuel.com, sign up with promo code MMA Roasted. That's FanDuel.com, promo code MMA Roasted, void where prohibited. Now, what was I talking about? So, shows. I'll tell us about the fights first. We'll talk about some of the fights that happened over the week. Saki, are we, look, my opinion on him is, yeah, he's exciting to watch. This dude is obviously a beast and a half, but he looked like he gassed a little bit. And
a lot,
and may need a better training camp because it seems like he's training for, I don't know, maybe a kickboxing fight, and
maybe,
MMA is different.
Maybe UFC lights got him a little tired, you know, I think that can do that, fighting in Japan.
Yeah.
He looked good, though.
He looked good in the beginning, but then also, I didn't realize that guy was purely a striker. I thought they brought him in against a submission guy, but the guy was
a Brazilian striker.
Yeah. It was a good fight, though.
That guy is super tough. He knocked out.
I'm excited. Were you impressed by Saki?
I only saw the highlights, but it was an impressive knockout.
Yes. Meanwhile, Takanori Gomi has now been four fights in a row in the first round. Please, for his own good, the guy's a legend, but what are we doing here? I mean, four fights in a row, first round knockout. And it looked like the last one didn't even get hit. I mean, I'm sure he got hit harder than I would be able to take a hit, but it didn't seem like it wasn't the most powerful shot. Yeah, right. And we're doing it for name, and it's almost like we're keeping him around because he's big in Asia, but come on.
I think, you know, what Ben didn't say, I think there comes a point when you're on top and then you start to go down and you get out for a while for whatever reason and you come back for you know, majority is probably the money, but I think that a lot of fighters or some fighters come back just for the love of it, not even the money aspect, you know?
The love and the relevancy and yeah, you feel
the
like...
the only thing you know.
You know?
Yeah.
It feels good to be watched, you know? So.
Right, and then, plus you got everyone on the internet now with social media saying, you could, it's okay, keep your head up. I mean, I've seen guys go out there, or women, that like clearly are in over their head, get murdered, and they post on Facebook, sorry, it wasn't my night, and they get 400 comments, you'll get them next time, or don't worry, it was a lucky punch. No, God, you're not helping the situation here.
There needs to be one voice of reason, hanging up while you can.
There'll be those.
Too. Well, with Bubba Jenkins, Bubba won last week, and I was super happy for him. He almost got caught in the first with a crazy arm bar, but he got out of it. He looked great, but he fought it at his weight class. But his last fight, you know, everybody was saying, good job, Bubba, it's okay, blah, blah, blah. And one person, which was his cousin, said, hey, man, we don't need to be taking any more losses, okay, against guys we're better than at weight classes above us. Let's be smart. And his mom liked it, and I liked it. Because that's a guy who actually gives a shit about you.
Yeah.
Because like Ben Askren said, the key to a good relationship is honesty.
Yeah, 100% honesty.
You know, the people that care about you, they're going to tell you, you looked horrible. You know, even if you didn't look that great, they're going to tell you because they care about you. They're not going to sugarcoat it.
Right.
So everyone needs that person in their life. I think it should be your coach. And if it's not your coach, you're in trouble.
Right. No, that's true. That's very true. I mean, there's sometimes that you watch fights and the guy's getting the shit beaten out of him and the corner's like, good job, good job. You're like, what fight are you watching? Yeah. At the same time, I guess maybe he's trying to build the person's confidence or something. You never know why they're doing that. Bellator, over the weekend, we talked about Pico. Ben Henderson should not be in main events anymore. I like Ben Henderson and he's a great fighter, but his last 3 out of 4 fights, he gets booed, and he's a good fighter, and I like the way he fights, but don't put him as the last fight. Put him as like the third fight in or something. Just placement.
Yeah.
Because he fights a style, a grinding style, and he sometimes wins by it, sometimes he loses it, but it's not always fan-pleasing. In fact, it's usually not, unless he's fighting Chandler or Pettis, but more than likely, a lot of times, he gets booed in his fights, but yet they keep putting him as the main event.
What did you think about that fight?
I got to watch it again. I thought it could have went either way. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a horrible robbery. At the same time, he could have...
Was exciting, the fight?
No.
Right, me neither.
But that's the way he fights, and I don't have a problem with it. I have a problem just with I told Bellator when I met him, you got to stop with the West Coast feed because they're not airing him live. So people are on Twitter, on Facebook, mm-hmm. on Instagram, seeing what happened, and unless you're me and you guys are fucking nerds about this shit or completely, you're not gonna watch a fight that you know the results.
I had to take I was at Eve Edwards' house. I had to take my computer, hook it up to the TV, use my parents' login from New York, mm-hmm. so I can get the East Coast feed, and then we watched it.
You can watch it on the Spike app, but I watched it on my phone. But if you don't want to watch fights on your phone, which most people don't, and then you can't use your phone.
And then if you're these people, vice versa, you have to stay away from social media, which is ridiculously impossible.
Yeah, right.
Delay, and they're playing cops. I go to the West Coast feed. They're playing cops and like Bar Rescue. I'm like, are you?
This or you get people texting you the results, which I've lost friends because of that. I hate it when my friends even try to not tell me the results, but I'll figure out in their question the results. Yeah. Like, hey, they'll be like, hey, did you see the Ben Henderson fight? Okay, no, I didn't, but now I know he won because you would have said, you see the Pitbull fight if Pitbull would have won. Like,
I mean, you're reading into it pretty deep, but people can be even worse than that. You know what I mean? Like, it's more obvious than that.
Oh, yeah. Like, wow, that was some knockout. And you know that one guy never knocks anyone out, has no power. You're like, okay, I know
did
what
you
happened.
You see the knockout? You're like, well, it was a night of grapplers.
Like, did you see the Gogo Plata and fucking Nick Diaz's fight? Like, okay, like, who else is going to? Yeah, 100%. Paul Bradley looked great. He lost the first round, but he's got that power. Paul Daly. I always say, Paul Daly
like
looked great.
I like Paul Bradley too,
but he's a guy who went to Iowa All-American. He's fought in Bellator and in World Series of Fighting. And
fought Yushin Okami, I think.
Yeah. He lost to Okami, but it was close. But Paul Daly, but he's also...
He's so good.
He's so good, but you don't know what... It's hard to... You don't know which one's going to show up. Is it going to be the guy who's going to get wrestle-fucked or just murdered by Rory? Or is it going to be the guy that knocked out Lorenz Larkin?
Well, I mean, the last two fights that I was at, this one and then the one, Brandon Ward.
Yeah.
So I'm like, when I think of Paul Daly, I've got nothing but this is going to be an exciting fight.
But the Rory fight, he got demolished.
I didn't see that.
Rory McDonald, I mean, just made him look like an amateur.
Took his back, hit him, finished him.
But MVP versus Paul, I'm going to see that fight, and it's going to be
Michael
a great
Van
fight.
Bates,
yeah.
Paul Daly, that's going to be awesome. Is that that's going to be the next
that's,
one?
Well, if they...
That's what he was talking trash to a little bit about.
Yeah, if they do it. Sometimes if they try to hold it off for a couple times, Bellator.
I think they made that fight happen. He did call him out after the fight.
And then Roy Nelson finally used his wrestling. He hasn't used that in years. I mean,
looked
granted.
Good. He hit one of the nicest double legs for a guy that looks that way I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, such a fangirl with Roy Nelson.
Really?
Yeah. He's like one of my favorite fighters. I actually was in the locker room watching him warm up.
Damn.
And I was just like trying not to take a secret picture. Like, no, don't do it. Don't fangirl.
That's hilarious. Well, with Roy Nelson, though, is one of those guys. Like, if Bellator was smart, like, if he becomes a Bellator champion, they really should do a major marketing campaign of, like, this is what our champions look like. Because
his own show or something, or like a digital YouTube, like, show or something.
Yeah, no, right. Because Roy Nelson, he's just fun to watch, and he looks like everybody watching fighting. You go into a bar, you'll see 100 guys that look like Roy Nelson, and he gives them hope, you know?
He gives me hope, and I'm a fighter. My favorite thing to say is, I'm like Roy Nelson. I got a Roy Nelson body, but...
You do not have a Roy Nelson... Yeah, no, he has way bigger boobs than you. Okay, but yeah, so that was awesome. I was happy, and I'm happy for Bubba. It was like all day. Bubba finally... Not finally, won. Bubba won. His opponent again missed weight. Third opponent in a row to miss weight. But he looked good. And Bubba, he does... He's one of those guys where... He put together this like left right to a double leg that looks so amazing, and you're like, holy shit. He sort of has that thing where, and but then he gets himself into an arm bar and does everything wrong to get out, but still gets out, like we were watching. Very frustrating fighter, because you see the glimpses of awesomeness.
Oh yeah.
You know, certain guys have that. You're like, man,
definitely got the wrestling.
Yeah, definitely got the wrestling. So I was I'm gonna tell some stories. I was talking about someone. I was telling my friend stories. Like, you're telling the podcast. So I did a bunch of shows with celebrities in them, you know. And I was actually put a highlight of all. So I did a show with Billy Bush. He was in the news last week. Billy, you know Billy Bush. He was the guy with Trump that was like, So he hosted this fundraiser I did, and he went on for 5 minutes and just bombed. He's not a comic, but No, but he, but it was funny because I went on stage and next, and I was like, oh, you know, Billy Bush is actually George Bush's nephew, so I guess bombing runs in the family. So that was that murdered, and then Wayne Gretzky was in the crowd. I'm like, Wayne Gretzky's here. I'm a big fan of your daughter. And then Brett Hull was there, and I'm like, Brett Hull, man, Brett Hull's fucking huge now. I'm like, it looks like you ate Brett Hull. Like, so that was actually that was pretty fun. And then one
that's
time,
when someone tells you it looks like you ate yourself.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Let's knock down the door. I hope I never get
there. Well, he talked about Tyron Woodley. Tyron Woodley actually came to a show one time, and it was right after the Roy McDonald fight, and he showed up late. And I'm like, oh, don't worry. He didn't show up for that fight either. he was good, though. He was good about it. And then Matt Hughes was at a show one time. I did a show for the UFC Business Center, UFC the corporate events, the UFC gyms. And Matt Hughes and BJ Penn were in the front row. And I'm like, oh, Matt, I didn't recognize you without BJ's nuts in your mouth.
Oh,
but Matt was good sport, though. Yeah, he actually texted me afterwards. And Vivica Fox was at a show one time.
Oh,
and but she got mad at me because it was right after she'd broken up with 50 Cent. And I'm like, oh, Mrs. Cent is here. And she did not want to be called Mrs.
I feel like you can't get upset no matter what a comedian says in that moment. You know they're using it for pure comedy.
Yeah.
And if you dated 50 Cent, like, to have that still brought up is, I don't know.
I'm
with it.
Yeah.
I want to, like, go to the front row of one of your shows and be like, okay.
Do it. I 100%. I'll talk about your neck tattoo.
Anything is open.
No, are you gonna get any more tattoos?
Yeah. Okay.
Where?
I'm gonna like fill. I'm actually gonna go into my armpit.
Really?
Yeah, I'm just gonna fill in this area. I wanna go like this side first.
How long have you had tattoos?
My first tattoo was when I was 15.
Oh, so you were wrestling in high school with tattoos?
Yeah. No. Well, I got the stars on my hip bones to hide it from my parents.
Oh.
And so then, but then I didn't go crazy until like 18.
Got it.
Speaking of which, but don't get on your neck. Anymore, like right in the front?
No.
Please don't get that.
I think I'm good.
Or no forehead, right?
No, nothing on my face. My grandpa said no face tattoos. No chest stuff right here.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing like that.
No boob tattoos, right?
No boob tattoos.
It never looks good.
No.
I've never seen it look good ever.
I've seen a couple good ones, but I'm like, I like them just kind of.
Your boobs are fine without them.
Yeah, regular. They're very simple.
You're going to get fake boobs?
Yeah.
Why? You have perfectly good boobs.
No.
You're C's?
No.
Those are bees?
Like, these are bee, like small bees, and then when I cut weight, those are like sad little eight.
No, you're fine. You don't. You're natural. You don't need to.
Okay, so guys talk about weight cut dick. There's weight cut boobs.
Yes.
You know, so
there's weight cut dick.
There is weight cut dick, and there's weight cut boobs. And yeah. It's not fun.
I have weight cut boobs and weight cut dick. Just walking around.
Are you cutting weight? No. I'm very well hydrated.
But you don't need to get. You don't need fake boobs. You're fine. Your boobs are great the way they are.
You gotta do that after the career, though, right? You gotta wait, or
yeah, no. Girls get them all the time. Look at Kat Zingano. Look at Misha Tate. You know, the list goes on. Beck Rollins, like. You know,
now I know three girls that have boobs.
Oh, you knew that.
I didn't know that.
Really?
No.
Huh. And there's more.
As
know?
A guy, I just assume they're all real.
Are there anything like Peaches or something? Pearl or Gonzalez. Pearl Gonzalez? Pearl Gonzalez, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's very common.
Okay. All right.
Does it add weight, though?
I'm sure, but, you know, it's not that big of a deal. There's, like, this new substance called Gummy Bear where you can cut into it. So let's say you get, like, front kick to the boob. It's not going to, like, poison you.
But wait till you're, like, a half pound over and you're doing that last half pound. You're going to look at your tits, like, fucking cursing at them. Like, God, why did I get you?
Yeah, I'll have cleavage. I'll be like, you are so hot.
Oh, you don't need to do that.
You are so hot.
You are so sexy.
I don't know. I mean, I'm all like,
that's your motivation to make the weight. Just like, you're so good.
I don't mind
fake
boobs.
You look so good at the weigh-in. Just make sure you make weight so you're happy. Yeah. So you're happy hot.
That's true. Yeah.
That's true. Well said.
That's yeah. There you go. So what was I talking about? Oh yeah, so I gotta do this show next week for Scott Baio. He's having a fundraiser,
Charles
right?
Josh?
Yeah, he's having a fundraiser, and he's like. But it's like for his daughter. He thought his daughter was sick when she was born. He had this disease. It turns out she was false positive, but they still have all these thing for kids who actually have that disease. Like, which is really nice. But it's the funniest thing. They always have me perform, and I bomb every year. And like, it's all kids. I got to be like G-rated.
Oh,
1 year it went so bad. They had a raffle, at an auction afterwards, right? And they were auctioning off all this stuff. And it went so bad that the guy was like, "If nobody bids on this next painting, I'm bringing back the comedian." And then people started bidding.
Oh no, they did.
That's good.
That's how bad it went. But it was funny. But one of them was like Scott Baio. So funny. It was like a round of golf with Scott Baio. That's what you won. And he hates people. So people, he was like, okay, you know, $3,000. For a round of golf, and then all of a sudden he started bidding against himself, so he didn't have to play with anybody. So it was like, and then everyone
he sees who's bidding is like, I'm me.
Yeah, and then it kept getting higher because everybody wanted to, because he didn't want to play with anybody, so it kept going up. So that was so I gotta do that. And then another show I did at one time with Pete Rose. So this guy Fraser Smith, who I did his radio show last night, he was talking, and he has like a Pete Rose joke, a Pete Rose gambling joke, and there was like eight people in the crowd. Afterwards, he goes back, we're out in like in the lobby, and this huge tall guy goes, "Hey, just so you know, I didn't like your Pete Rose jokes." And he's like, "Well," Fraser's like a 60-year-old man, and he's like, "What?" He goes, "That's my dad." And it was Tyler Rose. And he goes, like, his kid was in the audience. Out of the eight people, who the fuck has a Pete Rose joke still? And how is that going to happen, right?
Like, barely relevant.
Oh, he apologized. I'm sorry, blah, blah. So he goes, then I go on next. And I'm like, so Pete Rose was blowing me. And then like, and the guy got up like, come on, man. Like,
so Pete Rose was blowing me.
Yeah. But yeah, it was crazy. And then Nunez was actually at a show one time, Amanda Nunez, and I said that she probably, her being a lesbian, they're the best fighters because they make the tightest fists. And she was actually super cool about it. I asked her if she wears the belt during sex. She said yes, but I don't think she's speaking. I don't know if she knows what I was talking about.
Yes.
Yeah, but, yes. Yeah, she
don't
didn't.
Say yes. Are you?
Yeah, but then I asked Raquel and Tisha who gets top during sex during my show, and Raquel said she does. So that's actually. Who gets the girl who wears the scissoring. Well, they're out there scissoring, but I guess one's wearing like the, which I'm not sure they even do that.
I don't know.
Yeah, I've asked lesbians about that, and they never tell me what goes on in the bedroom. I've watched. I don't know. It's just, have you ever been a lesbian or bisexual or?
I'd tell you.
I'd tell you if I knew.
Now, do a lot of girls hit on you? They think that you're.
And all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, you want to be more than friends?
Wow.
Like, this is my new best friend. And then, like, I've been, like, kissed by a girl out of nowhere.
And then what did you do?
I mean, like, I was just like, oh, yeah. Like, burritos, not tacos. I'm sorry. Then,
like, you said, I like burritos, not tacos?
Yeah, you know. Like, you gotta make it, like, funny. And, like, you can't just, like, break your heart.
Was the girl Mexican?
Well, I'm not Mexican, so maybe that's
You're half Mexican? Who's Mexican, your mom or dad?
Dad.
Are you guys close to your dad?
I don't know him.
You don't know him? Oh, man. Like, you never met him?
I think I met him one time when I was young, and then he went to jail.
What did he go to jail for? You don't. You have no idea. Okay. Wow. Murder?
No, not murder.
Radio show.
Oh. Okay. So you met him once.
Yeah.
How old were you?
I think I was in sixth grade.
Yeah. Was that weird?
Yeah. I mean, I was like I'm pretty easygoing. Like, I was like, I remember my mom was like, oh, your dad is like this guy and whatever. And I was like, I thought like honestly that I was like adopted because I didn't look like the rest of my family, like dark hair, dark eyes. And my other family has blue eyes and light hair, looks like you basically.
Right. Tattoos?
I don't remember. It was so long ago.
And then was he like, hey, sorry, I was never around?
No, or, actually,
he was. Lo siento.
He was kind of a dick. He was like,
Lo siento.
Yeah. Well, no, I never saw him again after that.
Really? Oh. He was kind of a dick to you?
No, he was a dick. He was like, yeah, that's not my kid.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we were like,
ooh,
okay.
Wow. Yeah. Damn. This is where the anger comes.
No.
Yeah, this is where the.
No,
but like I remember when I wrestled in high school, my wrestling coach is like, hey, your mom, and I'm like, oh, my I didn't know my bowels was my mom. My mom left when I was 3, went to Canada, never saw her since. And my coach is like, oh, this is where the anger comes from. So now I'm saying it to you.
Okay, so sure. Well, I didn't know about that until like forever ago, and then I just kind of like forgot about it.
Now, did your mom get remarried? Your mom?
Yeah.
Either?
No.
So who raised you?
Mainly my grandpa.
Your grandpa?
Yeah.
Was it your Mexican dad's father or your mom's father?
Stepdad's mom's second husband.
What? That's not even your grandfather. That's just some
not,
dude.
Not blood, but I believe like your family is who raised you.
No, I know. Sure. The, I know.
So he's grandpa, but I mean like, oh.
That's pretty cool of him.
Yeah, oh, fuck yeah.
So how old was he when he raised you?
I mean, my grandma was around too, and like the parents were like just kind of like.
So your stepmom's parents raised you. Stepmom's parents raised you.
No, my stepdad's mom's second husband.
Oh wow! did like everyone
all along?
Yeah,
did it? Stepmom's.
Jeez, so simple.
Oh yeah, so simple. Did everyone draw straws? Like, who has to raise Ashley? And then it was like,
that's
so they were all white, Caucasian. So yeah. And then you felt like you didn't fit in because.
No, I didn't. I mean, I never felt like I didn't fit in. I just didn't even realize it was a thing.
Wow.
Yeah,
but they took care. You took you to wrestling matches and. What now? Did you have any athletic ability?
No, fuck no. I was like this chunky little kid who got hot dogs and pizza for lunch.
What made you join the wrestling team?
A friend of mine, my brother's best friend. I have a brother. He's like 1 year younger than me. We'd always be like wrestling around. I'd be like this tomboy or whatever. And I remember he went to military camp, came back, and went like shot a double leg on me, like pinned me, and I was like, what the fuck? What happened? You know? And he's like, oh, don't worry about it. I learned how to wrestle, but girls can't.
Ah.
And then, like, don't tell someone like me that I can't do something.
No, not at all.
And I want to do it 10 times.
You want to do it?
Yeah. So I was like, fuck you. I'm going to join the wrestling team. And I did it.
Now, did you need a note from your parent? Because that must have been tough. You have to go find your. Like, well, who's this guy? Well, funny story. He's my stepmom's husband's father's sister.
You don't need a note. You just need to wrestle. Yeah.
That's cool. Good for you. I like that.
Nice tie-in.
No, absolutely.
Are you surprised that a fighter has a fucked up family?
No, I'm a comedian. So comedians, fighters, I feel like we're all kind of come from the same cloth in some ways of just people that just need to express themselves in a way. And you do it through fighting and through eating weird food. And I do it through comedy and... Andrew does it through eating. Andrew's Andrew's a fighter as well. Now, Andrew, your girlfriend for 2 years just moved out last week to Minnesota.
She moved to Minnesota last week.
Are you okay with that?
It sucks.
Have you guys had FaceTime sex yet or no?
No, I think we're gonna do that this week.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, yeah. That's you gotta make sure they have a don't have the angle. You gotta have a because it
no,
looks
she,
like
she, her bed just got delivered yesterday. So then she'll get the right angle and then we'll have a little FaceTime sex.
Nice.
Super great.
Now, when are you gonna see her again?
buy a flight in the next couple of days.
Nice.
Yeah. Mine's good.
Because I'm going to strap
the production value is really epic.
It's going to be Eve's Edwards penis.
I make sure that
the
like
angle
if,
and the lighting.
Yeah, I make sure we get the
sound quality. That is really good.
Yeah, I could see that.
I don't want to look.
Live on Pluto TV, Andrew's FaceTime sex. I would not be surprised if that was
good angles. Yeah.
FaceTime sex is cool until like you like bust first and then you're just feel like a complete loser.
And I just want to get off the phone. I'm like, well,
I know.
I got to clean up and
especially since like I do it way quicker cuz I'm used to my old hand. I have to like do it lefty.
Lefty is a good way to do it.
Yeah.
Unless you're lefty.
Lefty but, and then like this sometimes you do
it
like
the reverse.
The reverse, yeah. And then I paint my fingernails, kind of like a girl. I'm like, you got to, I go all out, you know?
Oh, yeah. Then you could have her put some, like, off camera and have her do that. Then you do
it. And I steal her wedding ring and do it. It's just, it's a whole thing.
Oh, I like this. This is production value.
Yes.
That right there, that's how you up FaceTime sex.
Yeah.
That's fun. Good for you.
Yeah, well, this porn star that I used to date told me all about it. I used to date a porn star. That was a mistake. You don't really date a porn star. You just hang out with her in between films. But she told me, she told me a funny story. She goes, girl, she said, I don't care how many bitches you bang. I just want to be your number one bitch. That's what she told me. I don't know, but I was like, I want to be your number one dude today. But like, some girls are
first.
Some girls are cool with like being in an open relationship. I'm not. Are you?
An open relationship, meaning you can bang whoever you want.
Yeah.
Can bang whoever I want. I'm okay with me banging whoever I want, but not you.
But not banging me?
Not like that.
Just don't bang Adam.
No, I'm way too alpha female to allow my significant other to bang whoever
you
want.
But you can bang whoever you want?
I mean, like in a perfect world, I guess.
That's horrible.
That's not a thing. Like, no guy's going to be like, all right, sure.
Yeah.
I'll be your number one.
Right.
I'd be more down for that than an open relationship. Yeah.
Down for what?
Like my girlfriend. Yeah, my girlfriend can't sleep with anyone, but I can sleep with
her. Oh, yeah.
That's not a thing.
No, because I've had girls say to me, like, hey, let's have a threesome, like girlfriends or something. I'm like, no, this is going to end bad. You're going to complain the whole time. Like, how come you don't fuck me like that or something? Or like,
how come you be actually excited?
I never think you smile, but so happy. Like, it would just be horrible.
I could totally see that. That's so funny.
Yeah, it's a bad mistake.
That's good.
There's a rule. You just don't have a threesome with someone that you're in love with.
How many threesomes have you had? A lot?
That didn't say anything.
Now, have any been with Carla?
No. Way too weird. That's like your sister, your brother.
Now, I heard in college you told Carla how to dress like a female, or vice versa.
Yeah.
So she taught you how to become like wear a dress.
Basically, yeah.
And like to douche and stuff. She taught you all about.
Oh my god, no. The thing is, Carla came from LA. I came from the Boondock Town, and we were like the opposite. It was like fucking twins. You know what I mean? Like Danny DeVito and
Arnold
Schwarzenegger. Yeah. Who's Arnold? You?
Me, yeah.
Okay. All right.
And yeah. She's Danny DeVito.
Of course, yeah. Just throw it, yeah. And she was dressing like a hoochie mama, and I was dressing like a tomboy. And she was very, very like sassy, and I was quiet and introvert. And we kind of got together as friends, so not anything else. And we brought the best out of each other, you know? She helped me be a little more confident, be a little more girly. I told her she needed to take the Latina down a little bit, just a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it just worked for both of us. Yeah.
That's good. I like Carl a lot. I like your whole crew. There's no one you hang out with I don't like. I like Jessica Penny, even though we dated, it didn't go very well.
It was documented on TV, right?
Yeah. But I did.
TV?
Yeah, because I had that show where I went out with my ex-girlfriends and find out what went wrong. And but she was never like my girlfriend. We just like went on like two dates. Yeah. But she was a good. But she is. I like Jessica Penny, but
she's
a way better as a friend. I could never see, because she's just a resting bitch face. Like, I mean, like,
she'll punch you in your face.
She makes Musasi look happy. That's how bad. She is just the most miserable person. I like her, but I mean, there's a cloud that follows her everywhere. I mean, it's like, Jesus. And so I told you, I went in for the kiss, and then her dog jumped on my back. Her dog is like 700 pounds, and he pinned me. It was horrible. It was a horrible experience. But I like Jessica. Anyway, so then who else you hang out with? You hang out with Shani Rush?
Yeah.
And then who else you hang out with?
A fighter girl wife?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I like her. She's cool.
Yeah, she's awesome. She broke her hand her last fight, so she's healing. She lives out here in L.A.
She's hot.
Yeah,
Yeah, she's a hottie.
Yeah. Fighter girl wise, I mean, I don't have a lot of girl teammates or anything like that. Not a lot of girl fighters.
Hmm. I like it. Well, all right. Well, that's the end of our podcast. Andrew, what do you have coming up?
I have no fight party this weekend, but the following weekend we'll do another fight party live on Pluto TV. We'll be at Eve's Edwards' house again, trying to get Boss Root and Stephen Quadros in.
So nice.
We're going to have a chef.
Now, people keep asking me, how do I get Pluto TV? Tell us.
Just Google the word Pluto TV.
No. It's available on your Android, on your iPhone.
It's available Android, iPhone, Apple TV, iPad, Amazon Fire, Roku. We're getting built into a lot of the new Vizio TVs. So if you go to like Costco, all the Vizio TVs have Pluto TV built into them now. Coming to some Roku.
And it's free. It's free, guys. So all you guys who are cutting your cable and shit, like... It's free.
Free.
And they have great fights. Fights you've never seen before. Like undercard fights from like 1982. Like bare knuckle fights in people's backyards and stuff.
I have the entire K1 catalog. Kickboxing catalog. We have Glory Kickboxing Channel. We have all It's Showtime. We have partnership with Fight Networks. We got all Fight Networks.
All the content. Dream stuff.
We get Dream, Deep,
and then Shooto. And then John Gotti's kid has a fight here. What's that thing with Gotti?
Triton Fights.
What is Triton Fights?
It's a Long Island MMA company that I signed.
Is it still?
Just a throwback to Long Island MMA.
Yeah, I was like, what the hell? Like, John Gotti's kid fights?
But his father, not John Gotti, but the guy kind of like Italian.
Right.
His father owns CompuBox. So through CompuBox, we get all the statistics for Pluto and stuff. So
yeah,
pretty good.
You are a hustler, man.
I don't stop.
You don't stop. You don't sleep.
I don't.
Yeah.
Sleep.
All right, so you got that coming up. And Ashley, what do we have coming up with you?
I just bought 2 weeks ago, so there's nothing fight-wise on the books. I just started a YouTube channel. Just doing different interviews, different little videos, mainly interviews. My background, my degree is in journalism. I did a lot of interviews in college. I've been interviewing mainly MMA fighters, some musicians. Next week, actually, when I get back in Canada, I have an adult film star that's going to be
who?
Courtney Taylor.
I'm sure she's hot.
Check out Courtney Taylor.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's kind of cool. So, you know, people ask me, like, what exactly is the market? And I just think it's anybody that's pretty rad, extreme professions, I guess. So anywhere from an MMA fighter to...
So what's his channel?
It's on YouTube. So you Google Ashley Evan Smith YouTube channel.
But is there like a YouTube slash...
I mean, I literally just started.
We should know that.
They don't let you do the custom one for like a month or so.
Oh, okay.
It's something.
It's until you get 100 followers.
Yeah.
And I'm at a couple hundred right now, but I've literally started last week. I've already interviewed Raymond Daniels, Dan from Suicide Silence, the bass player, Frank Trigg, Chet Congo. Who am I forgetting? Razor Rob. I'll be doing this comedian. I don't know if you guys heard of him. Adam Hunter.
He sucks.
Later today. But yeah, and I'm just throwing those up there like crazy right now, and it's growing really fast, and I decided to just branch out to pretty much anything, like I said, the adult film star. I didn't know if I wanted to. It's like, all right, is this a YouTube
just be film? Careful. Just be careful. Just be careful. Oh. Nothing wrong with the adult film stars, but just, you know, just keep it classy.
Yeah, there's a certain audience that you're obviously going to bring in, and then maybe a certain audience that you're going to push away, you know? But at the same time, you know, it's like, this is my channel, you know? This is, you know, people that I think are interesting. Like, this is real life, you know? Like, I'm not going to censor it. Like,
no, you're right.
I'm not showing porn.
Of course.
But I'm going to be interviewing someone. I think that, like you said, as long as you keep it classy, it'll be okay.
Got it. Okay. This week I will be at the where am I this week? I'm fucking this Wednesday night I'm at the Hollywood Improv. This Wednesday night at 10 o'clock I'm on a show with Steve-O. So if you're a Steve-O fan from Jackass, I will be performing with Steve-O. Not with him, but on the same show as Steve-O. Tuesday night I'm at the Comedy Store. This Friday and Saturday I am at the Blue Room in Springfield, Missouri. Get your tickets now. I got Friday and Saturday there. And then next Wednesday, I'm in Lake Havasu, Pennington's Pub in Lake Havasu. And then I'm at the Edgewater Casino in Laughlin on Friday the 6th, the 7th, and 8th. And then I'm at the Honda Casino in Pine Top, Arizona. And that's Monday, the 9th of October. Then I am in Brentwood, California, but Brentwood, Northern California, at Caps Oak Street Club on the October 20th and 21st. And then I'm going to Maui at Three's Bars and Grill, November 10th and 11th and 12th in Maui. Excited about that. My wife's excited about that too. Well, listen, Ashley, it's such an honor to have you on the show. You're a role model. Much. You're a sweetheart. You're gonna make a guy very happy. Hopefully he doesn't have face tattoos, or if he does, whatever. Okay, listen, thank you for listening to our show. Andrew, thanks for having us on Pluto TV, man. You're a great friend, and you know your shit, man.
You're good too.
And anybody that loves fighting more than you.
Keep all the hating. I love the haters.
Take care, guys, and have a great week.